I just love it when I'm always amazed at the power of one. I've said that before, of what one person can do. You know, one person's choice of the morning, what they plan on doing, whether it's to get up and go to church, to reach to their neighbor, to buy a van, to bring people without vehicles to church. I'm always amazed at the power of one, what that one person can do. And so I want to encourage you guys, as the Holy Spirit is just being preached today, as Jesus being made manifest, what's the one thing God's called you to do? You know, I think sometimes we can get busy and caught up in so many things. You know, Martha did that. Martha got all caught up trying to make lunch and get victuals together. And Jesus said, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Can I just ask you, what's that one necessary thing that God's called you to? And do that. Be the person that God calls you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So today, we're taking a break out of Mark. Today's Pentecost Sunday. And so we're going to be looking at the role, the person, and the nature of the Holy Spirit. So you'll just have to grab your Bibles, get your pencils out. I've got an extra pencil if someone needs one. I see dust flowing up as people open their notebooks and they're getting ready. The Holy Spirit. As I said, we've been out for one full year, and the Spirit has just led us from Pentecost to Pentecost, and this has been a journey for us. I mean, we've been walking by faith, but this is a great illustration of our daily walk, our personal walk with the Lord. You know, the Bible says this isn't our home. We're just sojourning through this land, and God sometimes calls us to step out of the boat and to walk on water. And the psalmist also reminds us that sometimes the Lord makes us lie down in green pastures and says, just rest, take a break. So I each one of you, I'm glad you're here. I pray that the Lord touches your heart today as we look at the nature, the character, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we look at who the Holy Spirit is, it's no wonder the world was turned upside down that first Pentecost. I mean, granted, there was fire and there was wind and there was speaking in tongues. But when I see the love and the power and the character of who God is through the power of the Spirit, it's like seeing the world in color after a lifetime of black and white. It's like, this is what it is. This is what it's about. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. And so I want to look at a couple of the names of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of the times when I look at the name, I find the nature or the person behind that name. And so the first thing we see is the Holy Spirit is called the breath of the Almighty in Job 33. He's called the breath of the Almighty. Actually, even in Genesis 1, we see him as being the ruach, the wind, the breath, the spirit. He's the neshama, the breath, the inspiration. And so the Holy Spirit is this life-giving aspect of God. We see in the very beginning, God said, let there be light. I love that. The Holy Spirit moved Moses to write Elohim. It's the plurality of God. We see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as it says, he hovered over the deep, teeming life. So one of the things that we see with the Holy Spirit is life. He's always about life. The word says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. That's right. Guys, live an abundant life. I think I heard Bruce say something about, you know, COVID sometimes brought us to this place sometimes of nervousness or fear. That's not what God has called us to. God has called us to be courageous. God has called us to have an abundant life. Another name for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter or the Helper. If you read Greek, you will know it as the Paracletus. He comes alongside and he helps those. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is with you and he will be in you, and he also comes upon you with power. And so he comes alongside as a helper. He helps in those times and tribulations or temptations. He helps when I'm broken and there's no one to turn to. So many times we turn to anything but the Lord. What does Google have to say? What do I do? Or instead of turning to the master, we might turn to the MasterCard. But really, when we just take some time and pray, the Holy Spirit comes alongside and he helps us and he comforts us. That's part of his ministry, is being a comforter, a helper. He's called the Spirit of Counsel. I can't tell you how many times I get phone calls, Pastor, what should I do? And I say, well, did you pray? I did pray. Then I called you. Praise the Lord. You got that right. What's the word say? What does the word say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's get into the word. It's God breathed. It will give us the counsel that we need. As I look into Isaiah chapter 11, we see the sevenfold ministries of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of the Lord. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of understanding. He's the Spirit of counsel that we're talking about now. He's the Spirit of might. He's the Spirit of knowledge. And he's the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. I like what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, Jesus says, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will speak not on his own authority, but what he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say, he will take of mine and declare it to you. You see, the Spirit is always leading us to Christ. He's always pointing us to Jesus. That we always see in the scriptures where it says the Holy Spirit will be with us, he's in us, and he comes upon us. He's with us as we're walking through life, whether we know him or not. He's always coming alongside saying, you got to see Jesus. Have I introduced you to Jesus yet? You've got to know Jesus. And he comes alongside us, and he leads us to Jesus. It's like me walking the dog. I'm like, come on, let's go, let's go. You got to find your food. You got to find Jesus. You got to find Jesus. And then when we say, Jesus, I need help. I love Peter's prayer. It's probably the shortest prayer in the Bible. Lord, save me. Isn't that a great one? So many times we start this chainsaw of prayers. Oh, Holy Father. Oh, no, 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 no. God just simply wants our hearts. And when we say, God, help me, immediately the Spirit infuses his person into our soul, into our spirit, and he's within us. And now I have the Spirit residing in me, and he speaks directly to my heart. I love that about the Lord. He speaks just to me, and then he comes upon us. My Prius sounds like that from time to time. Oh, am I supposed to lie? Okay, I was fibbing. My Prius never sounds like that. But have you ever seen a Prius pull a trailer like that?
No.
Okay, you know what? I'm having difficulty here. So the Holy Spirit comes upon us with power that we can be his witnesses. Who can tell me the Greek word for witness? Anybody?
Martyr.
That's right. Marteo, where we get our word martyr. He wants us to live for him, but he also wants us to be able to lay it all down for him at the same time. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Lord, we just turn to you and ask for your Spirit just to guide us as we just simply try to teach your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't God good? And all the time, thank you for reminding me of that. I don't know why this is happening to me. Man. Well, let's talk about Pentecost. 50 days after the resurrection, it was a crazy day. The disciples were scared. They were hiding. The Lord just said, tarry, tarry. And for 40 days, Jesus was out talking to people. Before he was ascended into heaven, he was out 40 days showing himself, revealing himself, doing miracles. And so they only had 10 days where they were to go back to Jerusalem, and there they would be in the upper room, worshiping, maybe 120 altogether. praying, knees were knocking. Pastor Phil would say, if your knees are knocking, you kneel on them. So they were praying, Lord, please don't let us get found. And all of a sudden, something like wind filled the house. And then these tongues of fire actually rested over their head, something like fire. Was it fire? We don't really know, but that's what they were able to recall. It was something like fire, and all of a sudden, all of them began to speak languages that they didn't know. And they just started speaking out, and it was loud. It was a commotion to the point where the city started coming out. What's going on? It was Pentecost. It was the day where people would come in, and they would offer offerings to the Lord. The first fruits to the Lord. They would have a wave offering of the harvest, and they would bring in two different loaves and present them to the high priest, and he would present it to the Lord. And these were leavened loaves. It's an interesting picture. It's a picture of Judaism on one side and the church on the other side, and he's presenting them to the Lord. They didn't know that, but everything points to Jesus. And here he would be doing this, and so all the people would be in town during Pentecost. And there's this upper room with people just talking different languages, and everyone understood their language. People from all over the world were coming, these different Jewish people were coming in. How do these people know that our language? They're Galileans, for crying out loud. They're like, you know, backwoodsy, if you would. Ah, they're drunk. That explains it. Those guys got a hold of some new wine. They're just drunk, paying them no mind. And then Peter steps up, and Peter says, guys, they're not drunk as you suppose, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what the prophet Joel said. This is the very thing that Joel said, that in the last days, the Spirit would pour out into all flesh, and young men would have visions, and older men would dream dreams. My pastor, who's retired, said, I'm the old one. I'm going to bed. I'm dreaming dreams. And I said, well, I guess I'll see the visions. And the people started wondering, and Peter stood up and started preaching Jesus. This Jesus that you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And thousands turned to him and said, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized and converted. And thousands came and were saved that one day because the Holy Spirit moved in the nature of he is. I talked about the names of the Holy Spirit. He's the Paracletus. He comes alongside. And sometimes he causes your tablet not to work with all your notes, and you've got to wing it. And you know what? This is called walking by faith. And God's going to call you at times to step out and to do what's right. And I want to encourage you to do it. I want to encourage you to speak to people. Can I tell you something? This is what he said 2,000 years ago. The Spirit we poured out on the last days. That was 2,000 years ago. Gang, we're in overtime. We're in overtime. Any day now, Jesus can come. Any day now. So here's the thing. How's your family doing? How's your house? Is it in order? What about your neighbor? When's the last time you invited your neighbor over to dinner and just had a talk with him or her? When's the last time you made that tough phone call? There are some people, I have a directory, and I call people up from time to time. I call people on my phone from time to time just to remind them that I love them, that Jesus loves them. But there are people on my phone that I sometimes don't call because every time I call them, they bite at me. You ever got any friends like that? Man, you know what? I started calling them first. I call those people first. So when I call you, you're not the first. I've already got rid of those guys. So I don't want you going, oh, man, I'm that guy. You're not that guy. But there are those people out there. You know what? If there's someone in your life that is just always snapping and snarling, love on them. Love on. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. So love on them. So the Holy Spirit, he's the Paracletus. He's the Spirit of Christ, the word says. He has the same nature and character of Jesus. Jesus says, I'll pray to the Father that he would send you another helper, the word Paracletus there. But that word another means cut from the same cloth, same quality, same nature, same everything. Here's the crazy thing. Jesus at one time said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen... If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But when he goes and says, I pray to the Father, he'll send you another helper, he's going to say, if you see the helper, you've seen me. We're going to be that close because he's going to be talking about me. He's going to be pointing you to me because it's always about me, but I'm sending him because I go to the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit today in our life is the same relationships that Jesus was in the lives of the apostles. And that's a hard one for people to understand because I know in Sunday school we've asked Jesus into our hearts. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's in glory right now. It's the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Does that make sense? And so it's the Holy Spirit that comes alongside you. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the spirit of might. He's got power. He's got counsel. He's got wisdom. He has understanding. And yet he's the comforter. I love the Holy Spirit in the sense that he has all the characteristics of the Godhead. He's the third person of the Godhead. I don't put him above but the Father. I don't put him above the Son. But by nature, he too is God. Omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, all them omni things. I got to go, what are these? All powerful, all knowing, everywhere at the same time. He's there. Today's Pentecost. The thing I want to ask is, how is our walk with the Spirit today? I sat in my hot tub this morning praying and praying and praying. And finally I said, Lord, am I walking in the Spirit? Am I a spiritual man, Lord? Or am I just going through the motions? And I had to challenge myself from time to time. David did. David said, Lord, search me, know me. Find if there's any wicked way within me. Lord, am I walking in the Spirit or am I just knee-jerk reacting? And I think we all need to stop from time to time and say, Lord, am I operating in that realm? It's a different way of life, isn't it? It's not the same life. God called us to have life and life more abundantly, to have a life in the Spirit. And I want to encourage you guys as we walk in the Spirit, to trust the Spirit, to listen to the Spirit. I've said it many times before. I was with a group of guys and we were doing some discipleship. And I said, okay, I want you guys just to close your eyes for a minute. And I took out 3 coins from my pocket. I didn't tell them what I had. And I said, close your eyes and I want you to identify what I have here. And I dropped a quarter on the table. And I said, just listen to that. And I dropped a nickel on the table. I said, just listen to that. And I dropped a dime on the table. I said, I'm going to do it again, but I want you guys to tell me what it is. So I dropped a quarter again, and that's money. Well, okay, what is it? I don't know. So I dropped, I said, now listen to this. I dropped a nickel. Oh, that's a different money. That must be a quarter. I didn't say anything. I said, now listen to this. I dropped the dime. And so now they're learning the game I'm playing. I'm playing name the money, dropping the different coins. And I said, here's the thing. Open your eyes now. This is a quarter, and this is what a quarter sounds like on the table. This is a nickel. This is what a nickel sounds like when it hits the table. This is the dime. This is what a dime sounds like when it hits the table. The world is screaming at us. We need to learn to focus in our hearing. And I said, now close your eyes. And I dropped the quarter. What is that? Oh, that's the quarter. I dropped the dime. Oh, that's the dime. They knew it. The world is screaming at us. You need to tune in your ears so you can hear the Spirit speaking to you. You need to listen in that the voice that you hear is the voice of the Almighty and not just our appetite or our need. I had a good friend of mine who said, Dave, don't ever forget the call's the call. The need's not the call. Don't get confused with the need. Don't get confused with all the peripheral. What's the call? You stand with the call. And we all have our call. And as we all minister in that calling that God gave us, that one thing that was necessary, we're able to be obedient and follow through what the Lord's called us to do. I can remember being in wrestling and having headgear on and being out on the mat and all you can hear is this because we had the noise of the crowd and the headgear and all I heard was noise. I had to train my ear to listen to only one voice, the voice of my coach. I can be in a state that would have 4 or 5 different matches going on in different tournaments. and you had to hear your coach's voice over the other coach's voice. Elijah would stand at the mouth of the cave, and he saw a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. He saw a mighty wind, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. But it was a still small voice that the Lord was speaking through. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of might. Isaiah goes on to say, Isaiah 11, he's the Spirit of the Lord. That's an interesting phrase, the Spirit of the Lord. The word that is used here is Lord, but when they changed it from the Hebrew text to the Septuagint, it was the Greek translation, they used this word called Kurios. Kurios means Lord, but it's the same word for the covenant name of God. The Spirit shares the covenant name of God. Just think about that the next time you're hearing about the Holy Spirit. He shares the covenant name. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, to ask, and he'll give liberally. But don't ask as the heathens. Don't ask without faith. You'd be like a wave that's just tossed to and fro. Ask by faith. He's the Spirit of wisdom. When's the last time you said, Lord, I need wisdom in this situation? I need help, Lord. I need wisdom. I need more than just knowledge. Knowledge is the accumulation of stuff, information. Wisdom puts them all together. Wisdom places them where they're supposed to be. Knowledge tells me that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom tells me it doesn't go in a fruit salad. That was the joke. He's the wisdom of understanding, the wisdom of counsel, the wisdom of might. We sing a song from time to time, Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is, my God is mighty to save. He's the God of the Spirit of might. He's the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. I think our country sometimes edges further away of complacency. We've gotten comfortable with who Christ is. We've gotten comfortable with the church, and sometimes we've moved from comfortable to casual and from casual to complacency, and it's the Holy Spirit that reminds us of the fear of the Lord. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the fear of the Lord also hates sin. And sometimes we just get, oh, it's okay. If that's okay for you, that's okay for you. And what does the Word say? Get back to the Word. He's mighty to save, but he's also the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And it's not that fear of, it's that fear of, I don't want to break my Lord's heart. I don't want to be like Peter and say, I don't know the man, and look over and I see him looking back at me. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that John is. John's the one that Jesus loves. Only in the book Gospel of John does he call himself the one that Jesus loves. So I started introducing myself that way. Hey, my name's Dave. I'm the one that Jesus loves. Try it. It's a great conversation starter. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Jesus tells us in John chapter 16, he's the Spirit of truth. There's a lot of stuff out there. We live in a very spiritual area, don't we? We live in a very spiritual time. But he's the Spirit of truth. I'm going over a CD right now, just being reminded of the full armor of Christ. And I think of the belt. It's the belt of truth, isn't it? The belt of truth. When you look at a soldier, there's the canteen goes on the belt, the ammunition goes on the belt, the guns on the belt, or the sword, or everything's linked to the belt. It's the belt of truth. Everything about it is truth, and he's the Spirit of truth. And I want to encourage you guys that he's the Spirit of truth. He guides us in truth. Why? Because he points us to Jesus, who would say, I am the way, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, the Spirit of truth will not speak of his authority, but he'll come and he'll glorify me. John says in his epistle, test the spirits. And one way you test the spirit, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? At the end of the day, does someone do a curtsy and say, well, thank you, thank you? It was nothing. Because it wasn't, it was nothing. It's Jesus gets the glory. The Holy Spirit always defers to Jesus. Always. As we look at the Holy Spirit, he was powerful and yet gentle. It was the Holy Spirit that just came, poured himself out there at Pentecost, and thousands got saved. My question is he poured out in us? Are we so filled with the Holy Spirit that when people see us, people just say, man, I don't know what it is about you, but I want some of that. You know, as we first get saved, many times we have this joy, this smile, and we're just doing and doing and doing and doing. And then after a while, we just kind of let that younger generation do it. Can I just encourage you? This is not the time to retire. This is the time to take it a notch higher. I want to encourage you guys to say, Lord, would you fill me back up again? We've got a world that desperately needs Jesus, that desperately needs hope. This is one of the reasons why we're outside and not in a building. We could get in a building. But you know what? I want the world to see. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. I want the world to be able to walk by and say, man, I needed to be reminded that I'm loved. I love that. John says, behold what manner of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the sons of God. He's the Spirit of adoption. I was adopted when I was a kid. None of you knew that.
I did. Because I'm adopted too, so I remember that.
Listen, you guys. Oh, yeah, the first liar never has a chance with these guys. I was adopted at 1 year old. 1 year old. I share his name. My name's David Lucas. I've never met my father. But the Heavenly Father, he's a father to the fatherless, and he loves me. When people say, you've got your dad's eyes, I say, I know. I know. The Spirit, he's the Spirit of adoption, bringing people together. That's why when people come to church, I say, welcome, welcome home. This is our family. The church is more than a hospital, it's a family. It is a family. We come together. We cry together. We celebrate together. We learn together. As iron sharpens iron, we sharpen each other's countenance. He's the Spirit of adoption, bringing you back home. We used to sing a song in Oregon. It says, I have a father and he knows my name. I'm so glad he knows my name. I'm glad that he can pick me out and see a face as he says, that one's mine. Yep, that one, yep. My wife, she'll look out and see a face, and she goes, yeah. She'll recognize me and say, yeah, I don't see my husband. He's not here. The Holy Spirit is he's the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of adoption. He's the Spirit of might, the Spirit of power. More importantly than anything, he's our comforter. I don't have my notes, and so I want to end just with this. His job is to point you to Jesus. His job is to remind you that you're loved. He wants to remind you that when you fall down, he's going to catch you. He's also going to convict you when you're walking someplace that you shouldn't be. Not to condemn you, but just to bring you back in this way. Here we go. We're coming back over here. The Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost Sunday. The wind's blowing. Are you guys ready? Are you ready to go out and just tell people that Jesus loves them? Yes? Father, as we look today at this person of the Holy Spirit, I don't understand why you would choose to use the Holy Spirit who could be grieved. I would never allow myself to be grieved, but you allow yourself to be vulnerable enough that my actions can grieve the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the spirit of the fear of the Lord would rest upon us, not in this weird, controlling way, but in this loving, relational way that reminds us that we're a family. And we would never want to do anything that would stain that relationship, to hurt our Father. Lord, I just thank you again for just this simple time, this simple message about the Spirit of Christ, how he loves us. And so, Lord, as we continue just to lift our hands and our voices this morning, we pray that you would just blow fresh into our life, stir up those areas in our life that you've been speaking. There are some here that need comfort. There are some here that need a God who's mighty to save. There are some that need wisdom. And you've met each one of those people. So we bless you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take communion in just a couple of minutes. What I would ask is that as we're singing the song, just hold on to your cup. We'll take it as a family. But as the music is playing, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, just talk to him. Allow the Spirit to minister to you. Amen. Amen.